So some of the things that we are encouraging you to do before the hearings is certainly to become familiar with the presentations that may have been pre-submitted to us in writing, and we'll get that information to you. So it would be useful for you to be aware of what some people will be saying in the presentations. Some of the people who have submitted their presentation requests have indicated they're going to speak to their submissions, and so we'll let you know that that's happening, and those submissions are on the website, and if you need a hard copy, then clearly just a matter of asking us for them. It makes good sense for you to be there 30 minutes ahead of time. We'd like you to be welcoming the people who come to the hearing, making them feel welcome, and just generally setting the tone for the evening. We will be having a local host for each of the hearings, and by local host, we're referring to a local member who will volunteer to carry out certain activities during the hearing. People can let me know either this morning or via email, or just put your name out at the front desk and to let us know if you are interested in serving as a local host. If no one wants to volunteer from the local community to serve as a local host, then we'll go out and invite somebody from a neighboring district to serve in that capacity for the hearing. You should have some information already with respect to the hearings. All of you should have received by now your list of colleagues that will be joining you for the hearings that you are going to. I have one or two that I still have to take care of. There have been some changes in some memberships, and we've only sent out the revised list to the individual who has been assigned to that hearing. So if John Doe is assigned to the Whistler hearing, then John is the only one who's going to receive the Whistler list. The rest of you will have to wait and be surprised as to who shows up. Again, I can't overemphasize the importance of getting the travel and accommodation requirements requests into Kathy. We may not be booking these things right away, but we want to get as much advance notice so we can capitalize on reduced rates as fast as we can. If you intend driving and you are willing to take passengers, in the information package that you received from Marilyn and Don yesterday, the communications package, there's an updated contact list. So you know who's going to your hearings, and if you're willing to provide rides or if you're looking for a ride, then use the contact list that you have been provided to try to make some arrangements on your own. It's just too much for us to coordinate 49 hearings and 160 members. I think there's 410 hearing members out there, so they're just too much work for us to take on. But so just deal with that directly as best as you can. And again, I can't overemphasize, if you can't attend the hearing, just let us know. If we're concerned about the numbers, then we'll replace them. But if there still is a good number of people at that hearing, we just won't go ahead with the replacement at this point. The key thing we want you to do this morning in your discussion groups is, with the next slide, to deal with the format for the hearings. And we've had discussions internally about two formats, one which I will refer to as the traditional format. And this is hard to see, but, you know, it's a typical where you have the panel members, you have presentation space, and you have your audience. This is typically how hearings operate in the province, but we've also had some discussion of possibly using a more discussion-oriented, dialogue-oriented hearing format and taking a look at moving, using a circle for increase in dialogue. There is a difference between the two. Certainly in the traditional hearing, you have the sense of separation from the public. You are there primarily to listen and then to ask questions of clarification of the presenters, and then possibly once the presentations are over, to enter into a dialogue and discussions with members of the public who may wish to express things. If you move into the dialogue approach, then of course you again will hear, because we can open up the circle, the top of the circle, and have the presenters then speak to the people in the circle. You'll have an opportunity to ask questions. After the presentations are over, we'll go back and form the circle, and then you get into a bit more dialogue and discussion with the people who are in the room. Now, we see one of the benefits of the circle dialogue approach is that you are now creating a group of people in that community who may then be able to go out and encourage further discussion and further dialogue on the activities of the assembly and the information that the assembly has been circulating to people. So during your sessions this morning, we want you to discuss which of these that you have comfort with, so that we, if it's going to be one or the other, then we can begin to work to set the rooms up in that fashion. And in some cases, we may not be able to get a room that will work well, and we may have to go to one form versus the other. But it would be useful to us to know what your comfort zone is with respect to these different models. And we want you not only to think about your own comfort zone, but also to give some thought to the comfort zone of the people who will be presenting to the assembly, and then also to the members of the audience and how comfortable they will be moving into one format or the other. So these are some of the questions that we have given the facilitators for you to discuss this morning and to take a look at the question. And then when we come back in the plenary session later on this morning, you'll be able to give us some feedback in terms of what you think we should be doing in terms of the structure. You know, as we set the structure of that meeting room, it begins to set the tone for the session. And so I think it's useful to give it some thought and to see which format would be the one that you're more comfortable with and that you think that the people who will be coming to the hearing will be more comfortable with. In addition to that, we think we would like you to spend a bit of time this morning talking about preparing for the hearing. No one can really predict exactly what will happen at a hearing, and so we want you to do some thinking about what might happen at the hearing that you're coming to. There may be some issues that we are not aware of at the central level, and it would be useful to try to get some of that feedback from you if you think that there may be some things that might happen at your hearing. And it helps not only us, but also helps those who will be going to that hearing to prepare for any kind of eventuality, so that if we have some idea of what may happen at a hearing, and then also to get your wisdom as to what might be good suggestions in terms of how to deal with any possible issue or problem that may come up in a hearing. I mean, we may have no one show up at a hearing, and then what do we do? You know, so you might give that some thought, because this could happen. Probably the most important question is this one, which is, what are you looking for out of that hearing? What kind of information are you looking for from the presenters, from the members of the public? And so we'd like you to spend some time this morning to think about the kind of information that you would like to bring back from the hearing. Do you have some questions that you would like to pose? And so we're asking you to spend some time this morning to identify some of these questions. What are some of the key messages that we wish to take to the public at these hearings? And to bring that back to the plenary session this morning to help out and to give us better advice in terms of the direction to take. Now, we've asked the facilitators to approach each one of these three areas separately. So one group, or there'll be four groups that will start with question number one, that is, deal with the issue of format. And then four groups will deal about, you know, what might happen at a hearing. And then four will start with this particular question, like what information needs do we have. Hopefully you'll be able to get around to all of the questions, but if you can't, that's fine, because they'll all be covered by one or two four to eight groups sometime during the course of the morning. What I've done here is just kind of give you a typical hearing agenda where we anticipate, and this is quite straightforward, and I don't have to spend very, very much time talking about this, but this is just a typical agenda. If you think that we should have a different kind of agenda, please pass that information back through your discussion groups this morning. One of the things that we haven't included on the agenda is possibly spending a few minutes at the end of the meeting, once we have the group there, to talk about any recommendations that the assembly members may make with respect to plenary presentations. If there was something, their presentation that you found very interesting and you thought would be of some value for the plenary presentation session that will take place in September, it would be useful for us to have the assembly members just have a quick debriefing when we are at the meeting itself or at the hearing itself. There's a few little things that I want you to think about after you leave is, you know, promoting the hearings in your own communities, and we will be providing you with these posters or flyers. We want you to try to get that circulated as much as possible. Opportunities, you can contact your local schools, post-secondary students. There may be other groups out there that you wish to have contact with, and again, we're just repeating some of the information we've said earlier this morning. Don and Marilyn have lots of material that they are prepared to forward to you. The set you have can be photocopied at your pleasure. And if you want the printed materials that we have, then certainly contact the office and we'll do whatever we can. On the announcement sheet, Marilyn had included keeping your tent cards with you, because if we get into the a formal approach, having your tent cards in front of you helps the audience, because they'd like to know who you are. Bring your lanyards and name tags, because we get into the circle. That would be useful, again, for identifying who the assembly members are. Just want to point out there's a few changes still coming down with respect to public hearings. The Salt Spring date has been changed, and you'll notice that on the new sheets that have been circulated. There's a couple of areas that we're still working on, facilities, and people have asked us to take a look at other facilities and the ones on that's on that temporary list. So there'll be a couple of changes that we'll be working on in the Coquitlam and the Sparwood area. So those of you who are going to that hearing, keep yourself available, because we'll be communicating that to you within the week just to make sure you know where the hearings are at. So that's about it. Are there any questions that Sheila?
Hi.
Oh, there you go.
Two questions. One, your little picture diagram doesn't really work with my progressive lenses. Is it possible to get a larger picture of the possible room format diagrams?
Yes. We made some copies for those we knew had difficulties. I have a full-size sheet with me this morning, so if you want to come up before you go into the breakout rooms, I'll give it to you.
That'd be great.
Sure.
The other question is regarding equipment that the presenters at the public hearings might want to use to assist with their presentation. Will the assembly provide that equipment or arrange for it, or is each presenter responsible for arranging their own equipment?
Within reason, we will be providing some resources in that area. I mean, if it's an overhead projector, we'll do that. If it's an LCD projector, we'll be providing that as well. If it's more than that, then it depends. Okay, but certainly the basic presentation equipment, we'll be providing that. Chuck, is it? Oh, Fred?
Yes, with regard... Am I speaking into this or not?
Yes, you are.
With regard to hosts, what do you really expect? Do you want someone to volunteer or let you know if the person volunteers, or how will there be material as to how to go about being a host?
I would like you to let me know if you're interested in serving as a host. The role of the host will be to do an opening welcome to the members of the to the audience and so on, to kind of introduce the subject and so on, then to turn the meeting over to the facilitator, who will handle the introduction of presenters and the question and answers and so on. And then we'll have the local host as well close off the evening proceedings.
Thank you very much.
Okay. David?
Thanks, Dale. Presumably, we can attend sessions for which we are not sort of officially assigned to. I'm scheduled to go to sessions in Vancouver and Kelowna, but if there was a session in Richmond I wanted to hear, I presumably could go. How would you like us to behave if we went as a sort of observer, or would you like us to sort of with our lanyards and identify ourselves, or basically to sort of sit in the back and keep quiet?
No, we would like you to identify yourselves as members of the assembly, and we'll indicate that you are here as a member of the audience rather than a member of the panel, but that you're certainly welcome to come to as many hearings as you can.
And the follow-up question is that will we know in advance the submissions or presentations that are going to be made at each session? So that we can, if we have particular interest in hearing a submission from a group, we know where that group will make that submission.
I think we can do that for those who have requested submissions, and we have presentations, and we have 29 to date, and we really haven't got into the promotion section yet, but I think that's a good idea, and we won't do it for the whole 2-month period, but maybe we'll send that notice out to assembly members a couple of weeks ahead of time for a few of the hearings. You go. Heidi?
Who will be the facilitator of the group?
These will be primarily the senior staff of the assembly who will be coming out to do the facilitation for the evening.
Thank you.
And in addition to facilitators, there will be someone handling registration. In the larger meetings, we'll have someone handling the media, and then we'll also have an individual who will take notes and develop a summary for each presentation, as well as develop a summary for the hearing in totality. And so those will hopefully will all get on the website as well. Cliff? Anna?
I was just wondering if it would be useful to maybe have send out formal letters of invitation to certain groups in the community, and if we think that's a good idea, if the Assembly could provide sort of generic letters, and I'm thinking of City Council and Chamber of Commerce, and these people will know the dates, and hopefully they'll have some information, but I just wondered if you mentioned yourself, what if nobody shows up to the hearing? I'm just thinking, right. You know, that would be a good way to avoid that.
The mailing list, and I don't know how extensive it is and how much it unfolds once you send, let's say, a letter to a certain group that then communicate to their people. That'll all go out in the very near future, and we'll be indicating to them that the hearings are taking place in their region and stuff like that. So we'll be working on getting that information out to groups. That doesn't really get to the people, and that's where we hope you can help out. You know, but
Caroline.
We will be doing that.
That's right. Caroline.
The theater style set up for meetings is usually the most common. The circle is really good, but it does depend on how many people are going to be attending your meeting. If you've got a large number of people, that circle doesn't really work,
mm-hmm.
because unless you do an inner circle as well. But you have to be aware, which unfortunately at this time I don't think you are, the number of people that are going to be showing up at the public.
Yeah. The reason why we're asking you to feedback to us what your comfort level and which way you'd like us
right.
to go. Further questions? That's it?
I was wondering, you're saying here we should contact or speak to community groups and clubs. Is there a PowerPoint presentation available?
Yes, there is. And if you don't have it on a disc or CD, I mean, it's on the website. Am I right, Don? You know, I'm sure it's on the website. And if you need a copy that you can pack around, you can let us know. Harley?
Has there been any thought of a questionnaire posed to the guests that come to those meetings to get an idea on values, that type of thing?
That's one of the assignments this morning for you. So group three, whoever they are, will be starting to work on that question and provide that back to us. Now, when you report back to us, I've asked the facilitators to identify someone in each group to report back to us at the end of the discussion session. And we'd like you to kind of focus on that section that you were given the first issue to deal with rather than try to report on all three. So at least we'll get feedback on all three areas. And then if there's something that you really want to mention on top of that, then we can deal with that at that time.
One last question. Julie?
Just, I didn't hear Anna's question. I heard your response to it, Leo. With regard to mailing lists, Anna, did you ask if letters were being sent out to city councils and so on? If your response, as I understood it, was yes, you were going to be sending letters.
They're part of our generic mailing list,
yeah.
And that information will be sent directly to the municipalities, to school boards, to regional districts. So all of those groups will all receive something
okay,
from us.
Okay, my question has to do with, will you be including in those letters to those specific groups contact information for the assembly members from their areas?
I think that's a good idea, and I think that's something we can easily do. I'm not sure whether that was included, Marilyn, or not.
It was just a thought.
Yeah.
If they are interested in having, you know, besides us going out, if they're going to be getting communication with regard to the assembly, it might be interesting for them to know who in their area they can contact.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the point is whether we give them everybody's name in the local area or we allow them to reach out to the people. I think it's pretty public knowledge that assembly members, everybody should know who the assembly members are. It was in the Vancouver Sun. And let me put it to you this way. If there are people here who would not want us to let groups know who they are when we send this information out, let us know and let us know in the next week to 10 days. Otherwise, I'll assume that you want somebody to give you a call. The other thing was just passed on to me, is, and we haven't put it in the document. Typically, you know, with respect to dress code, we're looking at people to come out in what I call formal, casual, or something like that. That's typically the approach that your staff will be taking when they come out to the hearing. So I've just been asked to mention that as well. Okay, so on to your groups, and then we'll be meeting here, I guess, in about, well, you have coffee first. And then in about an hour.